listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, listen, thanks for being with us today. It is 2:08 p.m. on Friday. Friday, February the 11th, 2022. Well, listen, I'm watching the news right now. We got breaking news that they're saying that right now they're warning Americans to flee the country of Ukraine and that Russia could invade Ukraine at any moment. They say that they believe that General Jack Keane just said he thinks that the negotiation phase, the diplomacy stage, is ended. And so they're saying that it could be this weekend that an invasion launches. We'll see how that pans out. But listen, I got my comments here that I want to run through, and they're a little different than normal. I just felt like there was an experience I had that became such a life lesson, or really a series of lessons. I thought, you know what, God's given me this platform. I want to share this. So I had a situation in Baghdad. And there's a leadoff statement for you. But it was not what you might think. This is not going to be a war story, despite the fact that it happened in a war zone. What it is for me, though, is a series of life lessons, like I said, that all kind of came together, if you will, in one incident, and I thought it might be worth sharing. So here's the deal. Going into my second tour downrange, my team got several new folks added to it, and one of those was a captain. He was assigned to me to be my XO. I was a major at the time, so he's basically my XO, or my second in command of the team. All things were working fine until just before we launched from Fort Bragg. And then the behavior kind of began to wane. The issues began to surface. But, you know, my team's going to central Baghdad at a pretty hot time, so, all right, we'll just work through it, or so I thought. Well, a month or two at the FOB, and it was becoming a little bit more glaring. Insubordination, undermining authority, trying to divide the team by setting the guys against each other. What I had on my team was a captain who was a master manipulator. But I'm in a war zone, for crying out loud. I mean, you don't just fire someone like they work in an office back home, do you? And to be honest, he was a junior officer, and firing could mean bad news for his career, really, especially in a combat zone assignment. But the team could see it. And then one night, we were out on a mission working with an infantry task force on a cordon and search mission in one of the worst slums in central Baghdad, and this captain decided it was the best time for him to pop off at the mouth in front of other troops, and generally just make his backside known to everybody. So I wrote him up. And I wasn't going to do it, by the way, without a paper trail. I wrote him up in detailed fashion. I told him where to be and when for his formal counseling. But I knew by now who I was dealing with, and so I had another major sit in with me as a witness. Now, this other major informed the captain right up front that he was there only to be a silent and impartial witness. He would not be adding commentary. But as the petulance of this captain began to manifest itself, he wouldn't sit down. He refused to sign the counseling statement. He retorted back to me. He rolled his eyes. And then he made the error of trying to second-guess my judgment about something, thinking he could co-opt the other major. At that point, my silent witness spoke up. And this is what he said. I'll never forget it. He said, "Captain, I hadn't planned to say anything, but I feel now that I must. An order given to you by a superior officer is to be followed unless it is immoral, illegal, or unethical. Being unpopular is not part of the criteria." Well, you might imagine that went over like a lead balloon. I contacted my hire the next day, just told him to go ahead and take him, now. He was gone in days. But I'll be honest with you, I really questioned myself for a bit, until some things began to come to light. Once he was gone, the other team members were able to more freely tell me some of what had been happening that I couldn't even see. The morale on the team went way up, and the function on the team was exceptional after that. And to ice the cake, I found out, though, that I was not even the first team that he had been relieved from. Go figure. But I was the first one that was willing to write it up. So what did I learn? What are my points here? Well, there were several, so let me just lay them out for you, and I hope that they benefit somebody in the audience. Number one, lesson learned, bad news does not get better with time. I mean, it wasn't working out, right? To be honest, I might have stretched it out a bit too long, but I had been in other situations before and seen what can happen when a leader delays fixing a situation. And I'm a firm believer, and this situation proved it, that 5 minutes of awkward and uncomfortable now can save you 5 hours of pain and misery later. When we let things go, it's usually because we just don't want to have to deal with it. But we still will, and like a rotting piece of meat, it only gets worse the longer you leave it untouched. So if lesson number one was bad news does not get better with time. Number two, a team cannot be truly effective if it is not cohesive. I mean, you can have the most proficient people in the world, highly skilled, good at their jobs. They can individually be very effective, but if they cannot work together, the mission will suffer. This is true in war and in peace. A leader must look to both the individuals and their role within the broader team dynamic. When hiring someone, think through what they bring, not just in skills, not just in their resume. Remember, you're hiring the person as much as you are hiring the skill set, and they must be able to mesh with the others for there to be a cohesive team. A team cannot be truly effective if it is not also cohesive. Number three, deal with an issue now or someone's going to be cursing your name later on when they have to deal with your issue later. I'm going to tell you, as word got out that I had relieved that captain, the stories began to flood in. Man, you know what he did on his last team, right? Well, no, I didn't, because no one said anything. Because no one addressed the problem in its infancy, I got to deal with it when it was full blown. Don't be that guy or gal who passes the buck to the next poor schmo who has to deal with the person that you already know is disruptive. You're just passing the pain along to someone else. Lesson three was deal with an issue now, or someone else is going to be cursing your name when they have to deal with your issue later on. Number four is this, trust and loyalty are not optional. General Carl Steiner, he was one of the founders of the U.S. Army Special Operations. He said, you should, quote, you should truly love and care for those in your command the same as you would want any other leader to do for your own son or daughter. But if the day comes when you recognize that you cannot trust an individual in combat, you should get rid of them the soonest. All right. Hard to add to that except to say that it applies in all settings, in war and in peace. Trust and loyalty are earned, not given. And if someone cannot extend that measure of trust and loyalty that you're willing to extend to them, you know what? Then the bottom line is you should not have to keep pursuing goals knowing that they don't have your back or the back of the organization. Trust and loyalty are not optional. And here's the last thing, folks. This is an encouragement to you. Stay on the white horse. Stay on the white horse. By that I mean, you know, the good guys always ride the white horse in the old movies, right? There's as much to be said about the way you end something as there is about the way you begin. I didn't cuss him. I didn't demean him. I didn't allow it to devolve into personal vendettas. When you find yourself in this position, professionalism is paramount to staying on the white horse. Do not ever give that person the satisfaction of being able to point to their last interaction with you as being something that it should not have been. Don't let them provoke you. Stay on the white horse. Well, there's my five lessons. I hope it's beneficial to you. You might wonder what happened to the captain. Well, someone had the bright idea to put him on another team a month later. Yep. And it went about as well as you might expect. When the tour was over, he didn't think he had been given a high enough award, so he refused to come to the award ceremony to watch his own men receive their end-of-tour medals. The other officer on his team came to me later on to express his deep concerns, and I told him. I said, write it up. And gave him the same advice I just gave all of y'all, the same life lessons that I had just walked through months earlier. So that's it, my friends. It was on my mind today. I'm just figuring someone out there in right side ruffian land is dealing with a personnel issue. Well, take heart. There is a way through it. You stay on that white horse. You do what must be done. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, I just felt like waxing sort of philosophical there for a bit. I hope you don't mind, but the bottom line is this. God has given me some unique positions in life, and I figure if I learn something, it's an honor to have this platform. Every once in a while, I may have to share it. But there it is. Stay on the white horse, folks. You're going to have interpersonal difficulties. Letting them tarry, putting them off to somebody else, not dealing with them, never works. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back.